the crown jewel of the Wednesday Night War. We got a number one contenders match. Mia Yim goes extreme, and we got a brand new cruiserweight champion with breakaway pants. It's the NXT After Show on AfterBuzz TV, and it starts right now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. The sounds of Iron Man Mac Lynch means it's only one thing. It's now time for the Wednesday Night Delight. How is everyone doing out there? My name is Wobo Voice. You can call me the mayor. NXT After Show. NXT comes to you live from Full Sail University, where the sawgrass meets the sky as we broadcast the After Show at a beautiful and slightly chilly Los Angeles, California. We have so much to talk about today, but before we do, I want to introduce our all-star panel. On my far, far left, this guy came through on a Monday night. That's how hype he is. Two-time the man himself, Punk Rock, David Christopher. How's it going?
It is going. It's going good, guys. Yes, I'm that dedicated. I love me my WWE and wrestling, and I love hanging out with you, Flobo.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And you as well, Em.
Oh,
I'm just like, you weren't there Monday, but
that's
yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
And I'm here in spirit.
And on this right, someone who should not be left out, she's a correspondent from Championship Wrestling from Arizona, the Emmy nominated Emily May.
Oh, hi everyone. Happy to be here again for another week.
Yeah, and of course, we can't talk about NXT with the man himself in the booth, Rye Guy. How you living?
What's going on, y'all? Psyched to be talking NXT.
Oh, I've been seeing you on that Star Wars Weekly, man. You was killing it.
Yeah, blah. Making it happen.
So excited. We got the movie next week, as well as The Mandalorian every Friday. So tune in to our show, Thursdays, 4 p.m., Popcorn Talk, Sister Channel.
I love it.
Look at them.
Speaking of putting people over, right after this, the AEW Dynamite After Show is actually getting prepped right across the hall. Jack Farmer and company are going to give you all the highlights and rundowns on the other show. I mean,
yeah.
They're cool.
Twitter beef this
they're
week.
All right.
They
ain't
no Twitter beef. I'm just, you know, we're like a family.
We hang.
Yeah.
We just
do like little squinty eyes.
You know, you're like those two brothers or sisters. You know, obviously your parents love you both, but there's always one that's slightly better than the other.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That was totally my brother.
That's true. But they were like shouting like a few stations, you know.
Yeah, because
down from us, and I was like, quiet down.
I know, we're trying to watch real wrestling over here.
Watch stuff.
I'm just kidding. Please don't tell them, though. I'll get offended. All right, so top of the card tonight, Cruiserweight Champion. We have a brand new Cruiserweight Champion, Angel Garza. Kind of surprising, especially the fact that on today's episode of The Bump, Leo Rush was all like, I'm going to make him pay. David Christopher, walk me through this. Is it too soon for Angel Garza?
Wow. I'm just going to say wow. Is it too soon? Absolutely, I think it's too soon. I mean, you know, they're going to carry this feud out for a while, so this is something we're going to watch, which is great. I mean, the match was awesome. I'll give him that. But yes, I think it's really too soon. You know, Leo just got the belt, man. You know, he hasn't had much of a run yet to show what we can do with it, and I think he's still got a lot more in him.
Yeah, I mean, he came out looking like a Naruto character. I mean, talk me through this. Thought I was on the match.
So, you know, I was kind of struggling with, like, what kind of moment are they creating here? I was like, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Who am I supposed to root for?
Right.
And I was kind of struggling with that in this match. I think the wrestling was really good. I think they had some really great moves. It highlighted both athletes really well. But for me, I was trying to figure out, okay, if it's too soon for Garza to have it, like what are they going to do with it, and where is it going to go?
Well, before that, you raised a good point about, I guess you can't say heels and faces, protagonists. Compared to, say, SmackDown, where that is very clearly defined, who they root for and who not, and who's not, NXT tends to be like a bunch of gray area, which is cool in some cases, like an Adam Cole, for example, but in this match, would it be a benefit to the match to have a clear face and clear heel, or is that just something that it's just away from NXT? The brand is going to be, we're just guys and gals who do what we want.
Well, I mean, I think as they're trying to figure out like what they're doing with this type of wrestler, with their look, with their feel, with their music, their entrance, everything. It's a full package.
Yeah.
When they're trying to figure it out, I think it's okay to have it a little fluid, where you're like, okay, I'm not sure I could like go either way.
Yeah.
But when you have a storyline where there's a belt and title on the line,
right,
I think you need to have a definite delineation.
Okay, that's definitely fair.
I mean, that's a classic heel babyface, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think with this, there's, you know, NXT, there's a lot more freedom and a lot more opportunity for the fans to decide, you know? So I think, I agree with you, Emily. I think it's one of those things where, yeah, they're still trying to figure it out and decide which route, and they're obviously listening to the fans. I think they're both obviously clearly over. So it's like, who do you make the heel in this? You know, my guess, I'm going to say Leo's looking more like the heel, if that's where he's going to go.
That's interesting.
You know, but I think, you know, either way, I mean, it's I think it's going to be awesome, by the way. And you're going to see this rivalry go on. So
yeah, and I think NXT, I think to your point that NXT is really good about listening to their fans.
Yeah.
They really like take it in. They take those notes. The creative team takes those notes and really tries to implement them. And I think that just shows how that structure is kind of well established.
Yeah, to me it was kind of interesting because watching the bump this morning and having Leo be like, you came after my family. It's like, okay, he's the face. But then if you really want to get to the nitty-gritty of moves and holds, they both work kind of heelish. But then Angel Garza won. He was like, yeah, put the belt on me, bro. I'm the bad guy. But then he proposes to his girlfriend. And you're just like, I don't know what.
He had that big proposal, which totally makes him a face. I'm he's a romantic.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, I can't be mad at him.
He loves his girlfriend. Boo.
Right.
Yeah.
So weird. I was like, it's around the holidays. It's a moment. They had a beautiful I was like, oh, is it a fan?
Yeah.
is he just pulling a fan out?
Gets like, kids from grandmas and poses to other people.
It's his fiance. Congratulations.
But, I mean, you know, and congratulations, Garza. That's awesome. You know, and again, yeah, that's what I mean. It's so back and forth. It's hard to say. Going into this, I thought Leo was the top contender. I thought he's going to be the man. He's going to carry for a while. And that took me by surprise, which, I mean, is good, actually. You know, it's nice when that happens. So let's see what happens with it. I mean, either way, they're both awesome athletes. So it'll
be fun.
That's
true. Final question about this. The Cruiserweight title match, everyone seemed to be into it. Everyone's over.
Yeah.
Why has not people turned over to 205 Live? It's been a couple years. They've tried everything I can think of, say, for, like, actually promoting the show and the other shows. But why does it not translate? Why does it seem very in the moment where we go, that's cool Cruiserweight match, but not to be like, I'm watching this brand of Cruiserweight action.
I don't know if there's enough firepower. I don't know if there's enough star power, if you will. You know, and the marketing too, it's kind of here and there. You know, here's a match. But I mean, same thing with NXT, that was kind of just flooded. It was just shoved at you. You know what I mean? And especially now, you know, and then with so much going on with, you know, the SmackDown, the Raw, the NXT, is it kind of just drowning out the 205?
Right.
You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, we've had many discussions about is it too much content to take in every week or every other week.
Right, but we don't argue about that with Raw. Not to challenge you on that, but we don't oh man, I'm going to watch Monday nights.
No.
205, but,
and I think 205 has been that type of brand where they've kind of struggled to figure out how it fits into the WWE universe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think NXT obviously has its set place. And I think with, you know, maybe that type of merge or that type of trying to figure out where those cruiserweight wrestlers will go.
Well, here's
something they're going to struggle with.
Here's a thought. Has 205 become NXT when it first started?
In what way? Like, go back to...
It just not being... Obviously, it's not an established brand per se yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, I don't think a lot of people know necessarily the talent on the roster. We got to build it still. You know? And that it kind of reminds me of NXT when it kind of first started. People were just kind of like, what is this? Yeah, I'll chime in, I'll watch it here and there. You know, but I mean, now it's obviously established, but it took how many years?
I was going to say that whatever they do with 205 Live, don't change the theme song. It's dope. I'm in the gym, like, I want to turn in, run.
Every entrance you do, you have that song, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You just walk into a room.
Yeah, you know what? We should have a playlist of all of our wrestling themes you listen to. Right now, it's definitely Leo Rush's, I Came to Collect, Mark Henry's, whoa! Whoa! Nice. That's my jam.
That's my gym playlist.
I'm really digging Ciampa's ring music right now, man. It's just something about that just kind of gets me like pumped.
I'm hitting those 20-pound weights
super
hard.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I think we got 25 today.
I've earned it. Moving on is Rye Guy in the Booth. Can you do the world a favor?
Yes, man!
There we go.
Cut a promo! It's the show.
Boom. Little chime from the great one. There you go.
Finally, after six long days, Rye Guy is back in the booth.
Rye Guy.
For the NXT After Show, if you want to help the show, you can like, comment, and subscribe right here on YouTube channel. Also, go on iTunes. Let's talk about iTunes. You can go on iTunes and leave a 5-star review, as well as Spotify. Like, comment, subscribe. And lastly, moderator, what is your name? It doesn't matter what your name is. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the show.
I walked right to that like a rock bottom. My name is
those are the best things ever right now. Thank you for that, Ryan guy. That was amazing. Chime in from the great one.
Yes.
I wasn't that impressed.
Ryan, I think you have some competition.
I'm kind of hurt, man. Yeah. So let's talk about, before we go to the promos and everything tonight, let's talk about the next the match that was kind of interesting for me for a lot of ways. Cameron Grimes, Raul Mendoza. Last week, Cameron Grimes, looking like he came out the womb hat first, got involved. And even over the week, during the week, he kind of got involved with Kushida backstage.
Yeah.
And now there's this huge dust up between Raul, Cameron Grimes, and Kushida. Miss Emily May, tell me, what's going on with the backwoods Mr. Monopoly?
Barnum. He's my Barnum. I know he's your Mr. Barnum. Monopoly. We all have our little cute little names for him. Right. You know, I don't know. It was a very short and very sweet match.
Yeah.
You know, Kushida went and at the end took the hat away.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening?
The power's in the hat.
The power. It's redemption. Is the power in the hat? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what they're doing here and if Cameron Grimes is gonna like go against Kushida again. Like, I don't know. I'm like trying to figure it out. I think I don't know. I felt like it might have been like a little throwaway where it was so short that I think they had a moment where like it connected, but I think it was so quick it didn't really translate over because they were building so much story and
true.
Then it just like
absolutely true. Dave Christopher, I want to get your thoughts first before I
you know, here's the thing. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on this one.
I was like
I'm still trying to figure out Grimes. I'm like, what is this guy? Like, what are we doing here? So I'm kind of in the same boat, you know. And then, you know, the thing that happened over the weekend, it was just okay. What's going on?
Yeah, it definitely seems very, very peculiar to me. I'm taking a step back here.
Take a step back.
A little bit months ago, everyone wanted the Undisputed Era prophecy to be fulfilled. And I was not against it, like hard, like, oh, I can't stand it. I'm done watching wrestling. I'm going to watch every week. It's just the idea of, from a writing standpoint, you kind of put handcuffs on your writing staff because now all your division are tied up with this gang, which is great. But then now that mid-card area, that North American title has not been defined of what it would be. So I do think that there's plans for guys like Shane Thorne and Cameron Grimes to be the heel anchors in that mid-card division. I am not sure beating up Kushida, who just came back from injury, is the ticket. That's what was weird to me.
And he had like that amazing promo last week, right, with his daughter, and like had this beautiful moment where you're like, oh yeah. And then you have this like, and then you have like this.
I wanted to bring this point up because you did mention it. So there's a seem to be this epidemic or pandemic of family based storylines happening in WWE with Rusev and Lana, of Maverick and Elias, Miz and Wyatt, Mysterio and Brock, and Matt Hardy. It seems to be piling on. But you're right. It's really quick storytelling to have this guy who's like, I'm a cool dad. Oh no, I'm being hurt. Help me out. Is that to Cameron Grimes' benefit, or are we just going? He's still the guy in the hat.
I mean, if they're trying to build him as this heel, like you said, in the mid-card division, then you need to have, Kushida needs to have that big story with his family, fighting for everything that he can, you know, in his body and soul to get to where he, you know, where he wants to beat everyone that he can. So yeah, it will help Cameron Grimes in the long run. But when you have these little, like, bite-sized mini moments, it doesn't necessarily help further the story as much.
Yeah, I mean, Grimes is definitely, he has all the potential to be a good heel, which is also what we need in NXT, you know? But again, we need more buildup. We need, I think, more dominance from him. We need more of just a presence in that sense and more direction.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're looking in the right way to start, especially the whole family thing and all that. But there just needs to be a little more.
Yeah, give it up for Harry, Mr. Frosty. I thought the match itself was quick, but you're absolutely right. Nothing to write home about. Moving on, we have Jackson Ryker, who's supposed to be the big guy, the most intimidating guy in this group of Forgotten Sons, which, sidebar, I'm liking the new look. They're getting more and more away from the bikers and more being into the whole American veterans thing. Against Travis Banks, this definitely was a match set up for the World's Collide pay-per-view, happened the day before the Royal Rumble. I watch NXT UK fairly religiously. Travis Banks came out, and I was like, huh? Thoughts about the match?
Well, I would just say another reason why we are forgetting about the Forgotten Sons. You know, the match was okay. I'll give you that. It was okay. But again, it wasn't nothing to me that really stood out. Made me was like, oh yeah, the Forgotten Sons. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know,
Do you think this was like a reminder match of like, hey fans, look, we still have these.
Right. We have all these talent.
We have all these great talent.
That's the thing, man. Talk about, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but the embarrassment of riches, right?
Yeah.
That's on the WWE roster.
So many.
You got Worlds Collide. It's replacing a takeover. So you got the, not hot shot, but basically tell me why I should tune in the day before Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But then you got the build up NXT UK. Last week, you trotted out Cash's Ono from that side, and he totally got destroyed. So
yeah.
I get UK getting a win, but at the expense of a Forgotten Sons, I go, but... Okay, yeah. What does
but
that
it's
really
against,
mean?
Yeah, so what exactly, like what, like Travis Banks got this win, and they were saying that, like, yeah, okay, he now recorded this victory,
yeah.
But like, what does it really do for him and the like UK division?
And can we say, are the Forgotten Sons just becoming like jobbers now? I mean, because it seems
it looks that way. Yeah. No, it absolutely looks that way. You're not lying at all.
Well, it felt like when they came out, I was like, they looked a little angry at each other, and I was like, are they what? What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't win this match, there's no prize money.
Yeah, like, you're not, you know. Like, I was like, don't go against each other. You have to look outward.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of early to tell, but I just want your knee-jerk opinion. Besides the fact we're all AfterBuzz wrestling journalists, Worlds Collide is a pay-per-view concept. Are you on board? This is the second one in the series.
I don't know yet. And that's, again, that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's just like the same thing with this match. It's like, I don't know if I'm interested yet, if I should be interested yet. You know?
Yeah. So, I demand more.
Yeah, I mean, not to sound like that, but
yeah. Man of culture.
Now that you've
given us all this amazing content from all these brands, I'm like, you know, well, what do you guys got?
I mean, I think with every new show and every new pay-per-view, I think you have an opportunity, or the athletes have an opportunity to showcase what they've got. And so I think they have to be very deliberate and be very specific in what they want to do and what they want to achieve.
Right.
And so if they're clear about that, then hopefully it's a good show. And I'm willing to, you know, tune in and see.
True. It's been butt and everything. Does it matter that the Forgotten Sons lost to a guy? Like, does it make them seem even worse? Or is it kind of like, because they've lost so many times in the past, it's kind of like, oh, par for the course.
Yeah, I think at
is
this point...
Is there a bottom for them?
Is there a bottom
for them? Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I think they can definitely go... There's always... You can go lower. But yeah. they're on that way.
Okay, fair enough. If you have stock in them now, please sell.
Yeah. Buy out.
Moving on, it's now time for Flobito's Boot Thing of the Week. Flobito's Boot Thing of the Week. That's right. Today's edition of Boot Thing of the Week. I got to give it to...
All right. Okay, sorry, Flobo. I got to stop you there. I know.
Wait, hold on. First of all, I get in the promo of a Rye Guy.
I know. I'm sorry. I got
super kicked by Emily May.
Out of nowhere.
I'm going to take my chair.
Yeah. Where's your drop?
I'm sorry, but I have to say, I have my own boo thing of the week.
Well, you got your own boo thing of the week.
Yeah, I do.
You know what? I'm going to allow this.
What?
Are you allowing it? Judge has been hijacked.
They call me the mayor.
Oh, my God. Okay, I have to say, my moment of the night was when Shayna Baszler came and did that promo.
Okay.
With that Ford Mustang.
Oh,
that was
pretty dope.
That was dope.
Yeah,
okay. And I was like, ooh.
All right.
This is...
It was a little hot and bothering.
This is a little hot. I was like...
Yeah, it was great.
I was like, okay.
So Shayna Baszler, NXT champion, super dominating, is your boot thing of the week?
Yes. Yes. I would ride in the Mustang with her.
Okay.
I'll ride in the Mustang just because the Mustang was fast.
Yeah, I took over your second.
That's Emily May's boot thing of the week.
I was kidding.
And the turn.
It doesn't matter what my segment is.
Now I'm going to be the heel of the next season.
Out of nowhere.
Nah, you tell me. Out of nowhere.
Okay, well, you can continue. Okay. Who's yours?
If Flobo is out, he's out.
Exactly. Well, my bruising was Caden Carter. But forget about it. Now, moving on. Mia Yim takes on Dakota Kai in a match, which pretty much was a button to this storyline from a couple weeks ago at NXT TakeOver, because Mia Yim wasn't clear to wrestle. So Dakota Kai knocked her out before the match, and now Mia Yim's revenge or not? David Christopher, walk me through this, the match and the aftermath. Mia Yim, Dakota Kai, the new Dakota Kai.
I think, okay, it was good. I like how Dakota Kai came out. She was aggressive. She has something to prove. Now, she's in a position, she has a chip on her shoulder. You know, there's a lot of focus on her. She needs to make a statement.
Cool.
And she started off well. The match was okay. I'm glad that she took it. But again, like I say, we keep stomping on her a little bit. At the end of the match, she totally gets annihilated
Absolutely.
Through that table.
Yeah.
You know, the match itself was awesome. It was great. The turnbuckle, perfect heel move. I get it. But...
Okay.
But what is this? What happened?
Dude, help me out.
I love both of them. Yeah. Let me just throw it out there. I love both of them. I think it's a good matchup. But what I wanted is, like, the stakes were high. Like,
yeah.
me, like the frustration and the angst and the anger should have been there from the beginning. And it shouldn't necessarily, it should have not only been in the moment when they're walking down the ramp and into the ring, but within every move that they do in that ring. And I didn't necessarily see it where they started hot, they're trying to build these characters, but like the moments in the middle between each move, I didn't necessarily see that conflict and that frustration.
So explain to me and the people watching at home, what exactly will be missing it? What would make it better if you weren't familiar with the biz?
Like, not that I, but like there's.
I mean, we do wrestling bars wrestling every week. We watch so much wrestling.
We watch so much wrestling. It's like embraced.
But if you're a casual fan flipping, what's something they can improve on?
There's taking a breath, like not a physical breath, but like a beat. Like you have your story beats, beginning, middle, and end. Taking a beat between the moment that you're gonna kick someone, or you're gonna like jump, or you're gonna like you have to like build. There's arcs within within the match that I feel like they were just like going at it, just like all
right.
So they didn't tell the story for you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but okay. Yes.
I'm inclined to agree. It really felt like Dakota was trying to push the fact that she was evil now, and me, it was like I'm the baddie now.
Yeah, and it's like
two trains hitting the little station there.
Yeah, and I that big spot at the end where Mia Yim takes Dakota Kai over the tech table.
Yeah.
Right. And
on wheels.
On wheels, which I thought was really cool. I was like, oh yeah, roll that in.
Also, how ironically they just happen to take her out over there, and then hey,
because
he's props.
Like I'm a little conflicted about whether that was like the right move for her because she's taken most of the hit that.
No, I was saying they was hit it on too. You guys are both right. Dakota Kai is a brand new heel. She's fresh. She won her match by cheating. The finish wasn't as clean as I would like to be. But now, the past 2 weeks, Dakota Kai has been destroyed after the fact. So I'm not really sure if I should be invested into this heel version of Dakota Kai.
Exactly.
Or is it going to be like a Forgotten Sons type deal where you're just a heel and you go, okay, that's right.
Which sucks because, I mean, she could be a really awesome heel if they allowed her to be. You know, like they let her dominate. They don't just keep stomping on her. I mean, and we need that too, especially with the women. I mean, someone that's just going to be that aggressive heel, that chip on her shoulder with something to prove that comes out every time. And just you watch, you know, almost like those Ric Flair with the dirty moves and you know, like the turnbuckle. And I want to see someone like that,
that's
know?
Fair.
Yeah. And like you said, like if Dakota Kai keeps getting like injured and you know, and messed up by at the end of the match, post match, like it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanna
like
buy
how
merch.
Am I supposed to have like faith and trust that she's going to like bring it home.
Her stock just keeps going, you know, and that sucks.
And I like truly love both of them as athletes. So this is just coming from what I've observed.
I like Dakota Kai for sure. Joseph Bosa actually agrees with you. Says basically do a move or offense and let fans take that in. Mm-hmm. Don't try to go home so dang quickly.
Exactly.
Wow. I just imagine Joseph having a cigar and be like, these kids don't know the psychology.
But I mean, also too, did you guys see how she fell on like her neck when she on that tip? That looked kind of ugly.
I was worried about her neck, and she took that like weird. She like flipped into herself, and I was like, I hope she tucked her chin. Like it was a whole thing.
Yeah, moving on. Here's something that's also. Kind of weird, talking about stock and selling it, the Singh brothers, which I don't think they've wrestled together on NXT for a while, if ever. I know they're a 205 fixture, and a match against Breezango doing the medical thing. All right, that's cool. Hey, whatever. No doubt my mind Breezango was going over, but still thoughts about the match. And at this point, thoughts about having so many matches on today's episode of NXT.
I mean, I love Breezango. You know, the way they came out today with the whole doctor, the medical side. Like, this is great. I love this just for the comedy, you know, bit of it. And you know, the veterans, it's cool watching them. And then the Singh brothers, I mean, you haven't seen them for a minute, right?
Samir won the 24/7 title a month ago.
So, I mean, for me, I was more invested in Breezango and just the antics of that. And that was fun. The match was okay. It was a decent match. But it was more of just fun for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is that classic, like, comedic entrance where, you know, you have them kind of taking off their clothes and you have, like, the music, and it's
serious to me.
Your eyes were like,
it's like, sorry, Shane, a new movie of the week is definitely
the screen.
Let's talk about that.
You were getting hot.
I was getting hot. Dude. I was hot. I'm so glad they won.
Yes.
The tag team division right now, according to my account, please add on if I'm forgetting anybody, Breezango, Undisputed Era, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan, and the Forgotten Sons. Seems to be pretty thin. But if you were to book the next opponents for the Undisputed Era, what would you do at this point? Would you do the Singh Brothers or Breezango? Or is that just weird and too early to tell?
I don't know if you could do... I don't know, because I feel like both of them are a little less, like, serious. They're a little more comedic. And so I can't see them going against.
I don't see any, to be honest. I don't see any of them right now in that.
So just have them have the Red Dragon hold it. Once Bobby Fish comes back, just have them hold the titles.
I mean, maybe they need to. I mean, maybe that's a question of like trying to develop the tag team division a little bit more, where you have, where you have the right talent that can go against him.
True. I mean, I'm in the
tag team. Or combine forces with a few people, and maybe you have a.
I think it's a similar situation, almost like how we have on Raw with the female talent and the contender for that, and then
tag team
here in the NXT division. I mean, it's because who really do you? Who do you have that would take it from Undisputed Era?
No one at all.
Yeah.
And that's the question of the day.
Yeah, exactly. That's the question mark. Moving on, it's now time for Punk Rock's Pin of the Night.
Boom. There it is. That's literally how I wake up every morning. That place. I'm like, that's
right. Keep it down over there.
I have it right. Tonight's Punk Rock Pin of the Night, I'm going to give it to... Leo and Garza, because the match itself was just amazing. It's literally what I love to watch. It was aggressive. It was high-flying. The build-up, the feud, everything was there. The moves. Of course, the heartstrings with, the whole proposal at the end. Yeah. That was great. And then the big awe moment of, just the new champion itself was pretty awesome.
They did sell it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that one, and that's going to be your Punk Rock Pin of the Night. You heard it first.
Yeah, I did. Let's talk about something.
You guys, I think we need a band.
Yes.
Air instruments.
Yeah, air instruments.
Talk about something got pinned tonight. Caden Carter had a match with Bianca Belair. It wasn't much of a match. Bianca Belair totally destroyed her. But I have positive thoughts about it. But first, riddle me this, Emily May. Bianca Belair, are they trying to heat her up again? Is this just a filler match or what?
I don't know. Like, Bianca Belair's ascending, like, the women's division. Yes. She's just this glorious beast of a woman. She's such an athlete. And I think, I think you have to keep her fresh and keep her in the ring. And, even though she does dark matches, you got to keep her, in front of the fans. And so this was just an opportunity, like, where the stakes aren't high. There's nothing really for anyone to lose. And, she's not going to lose. So, it's just for her to, like, still continue to be in the front of people's minds. I don't think it did anything for Caden Carter, but I think it was good for her to have that match against someone that is, like, in the top women's division.
Fair.
Yeah, I think, this would have did a whole lot more for Caden Carter had she taken the W, of course.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have Bianca Belair, which is an amazing athlete. She's literally the top of the roster, and that's, I think, exactly it, Emily. We need to keep her in the presence of the audience. We just need to keep her fresh, keep her out there, because as far as I'm concerned, she's going to be up there pretty soon. She's a top contender for sure. She's got the talent. She's got the good gimmick. She's over, and she's just a phenomenal athlete.
Just
so
incredible.
I think it's just timing. Let's just keep her out there, and then when that moment comes, then she's getting that.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching her every time. I think she commands a presence, and so I don't mind having her in these small matches where I can just get to watch her do what she's really great at.
Yeah, definitely was a showcase for Bianca. But I there's something about Caden Carter I do like. I think she has it. I saw her in the Mae Young Classic. Her win-loss record on camera has not been that good. I think she's tagging with Jesse Kamea on the house show circuit. I'm going to put my hands at the wall here and think that 2020 may be Caden Carter's breakout year. Maybe not now, maybe not January, but this time next year, I do think she'll be an impact
player. That's a big take.
Nice. Hey, we have to think about Garza. He's doing it. So that's my big take. Clip it out. Let me know. Hold to me. I call it accountable.
You heard it here first.
I love the predictions.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. And if I'm wrong, it was totally Jack Farmer's idea. No, he's they'll get him in trouble. He's a good guy. All right, so our main event tonight, number one contenders match, Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, and Finn Balor, the winner, going against Adam Cole, baby. My pick to win, Tommaso Ciampa, did not. Back to that little bit of Balor action. Emily May.
So I wanted. I know we talked all about our predictions, and I really wanted Keith Lee to take it home. In my heart, I wanted him to take it home, but I know that in reality, it was most likely going to be Balor.
So did we actually have a split table today?
I think we had a split table.
That's awesome. We did. You guys are all here.
You heard it here.
Nice.
So I just was really, like, I was torn because I was, like, rooting for Keith Lee, but, like, I knew in the reality that I don't think he's, I don't think it was his time. And I know.
Where does he go now? In a title division?
No, it's like a Bianca Belair thing where it's like, we know he's going to have his moment. We keep building him.
And he's awesome. Yeah. I think they're going to, like, last week he had a really amazing moment. And I think they're going to just keep building it. And I think 2020 is going to be an even better year for Keith Lee.
I will say that, you know what? I will piggyback off of you, Flo, and say that I think 2020 will be the year of Keith Lee.
Okay.
Maybe later in the year.
That's definitely a possibility.
I do see that.
So clip that out.
We all need to get t-shirts then.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, it's not going to be wrong. It's going to be absolutely right. So.
Oh, wow. He's confident too.
No, but I mean, I will say my boy Bala took it home. That's right.
So there seems to be a little bit of dissension in the chat, but I'm going to cut you off here. Dylan Matthews said, Finn had to win this. Boza said, did Finn really need to win this? I don't see Cole losing to anyone but Ciampa.
Absolutely not. How does that make sense?
Who said that?
I love you, but no, I mean, you know, and we had this discussion too with Jim. You know, Finn does have to take it. He's the all-star. He's the one in that division that's going to carry the division. He's a face. Yeah. And it's time to just get Adam Cole out of there. You know what I mean? If anything, let's build a feud with Ciampa or Lee. You know, I mean, it's going to go back and forth a little bit with Adam Cole because he's not going to just walk away, you know, if he loses. But let's change it up because, like I said before, Adam Cole's good, but he's not great, baby.
So Balor earlier in the night in his promo, he said, future will be my past.
He's been saying this is coming back. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So he's been saying that. It's been going around. And so
he's literally telling
you. He's going to win.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I love Finn Balor, you know, I love Keith Lee, but I also want to see Ciampa, and I think all three need to have their moment, and I think they'll get it.
Right.
But again, it's going against Adam Cole, so you're like, who's the best person to do that, and who can take the belt?
Well, let's get Adam Cole out of the picture now, and we have Keith Lee who's on a rise, with Ciampa, who, he never really lost a title, and I mean, tonight's match was hard, because I literally liked them all, you know, it was like a battle of the faces, basically, it's like, right. Who do you choose, you know, in that kind of situation?
And they're also incredibly talented.
Exactly, and the storytelling in that match was also great, you know, you had that dominant power of Keith Lee, you just saw, you know, it was like the Hulk in that match, just chops and just dominates,
you know. Knocking people over, throwing people out.
Yeah. And then you just had the guts and the courageous toughness of, you know, Ciampa. And then you had the venture and the smarts and those awesome maneuvers from, you know, Balor, which was really cool. You know what I mean? So it was...
Balor goes over. Does it matter that Keith took the pinfall? Does that hurt him at all?
No, not against Balor.
I don't think so.
Does it make it feel queasy?
Not against Balor.
I mean, it makes my heart hurt.
That's what I'm saying. Does it sit right with you as a fan?
I mean, I think you are going to have your losses and you just have to take them. And it's just going to make him stronger coming back.
That's totally fair. We're probably rolling the prediction here. About 3 minutes left. Next week is one of the biggest NXTs of the year. It's TakeOver Lite, which seems to be the common trend with this brand. Double main event, the men's title, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, and the women's title match, Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley. First of all, who do you got in which match will steal the show?
I mean, I'm going to say I really enjoyed Ripley's promo today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was pretty damn awesome. I'm so stoked for that girl. Like, we've been saying, you know, she's the one. She's on the rise. I really hope that she takes it. I really do. Really? I'm backing her, and I'm going to say she is going to take it, and I really hope that she does.
So the title will change.
I hope.
I hope.
You know, I did.
Only predictions of the show. You know, yeah, say it.
You know, there have been a lot of more sentimental promos, you know, with Rhea Ripley's, like, pictures of her as a young girl, you know, training at 19, getting that call. You know, I think it relates to a lot of people, talking about struggling as an artist or anyone in any type of field that they love and trying to really make it and just make an impact on someone and do something that you truly love is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's there living it at 23 years old is a testament to her hard work and her talent. I'm getting choked up.
I know.
But are you okay?
Something about it.
I think I don't know if she would take it. I would love to see her take it.
Yeah.
I think We'll see. Yeah. But I think the women's match might, I'm going to say it might be the highlight of next week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that the promos themselves sell it. You
the
know
promos,
what I'm saying?
Totally. Like, the packages that they're putting out are touching fans and leading the, you know, leading up to next week.
Dave, I got to ask you the old question that we say all the time here on NXT After Show. Shayna Baszler goes in next week. She loses a title. Do you keep her around for rematch? Do you move her to another brand? Do you take her off TV?
We're going to keep her around. This feud, again, Shayna's not going to just go away. You know, she's too dominant of a force. She's too much credibility. Mm-hmm. She's the star, you know? So, yeah, you're going to build this feud at least another one or two times, and then we'll go from there. But I think regardless, even if Shayna ends up taking it, Ripley's coming back, and she's gonna beat her eventually. If it's not this time, it's gonna happen eventually. So.
Yeah, and she's one of the strongest heels right now, so you need her there to carry the story in the division.
I agree. In our men's title match, Balor, Bebe, Adam Cole, what's going on? This may be like a 30-minute epic. They may give me the time.
I want to see them bring it. I want it to be like takeover level. Like I want it to be so. I want to be blown away, and I'm excited to just watch it and see what happens.
Absolutely.
I want to be able to look at the clock and be like, oh, it's only 6:30.
Exactly. We're going like, after this. Like, I want them to surprise us and really make us love NXT even more.
Yeah, final thoughts about the match? Are you looking forward to it? It's the most
you already know I'm Balor Club. I'm Balor Club. I'm going for it. Let's do it.
Wear a little...
I'm gonna wear my leather jacket next week.
Next week we should wear whoever we're rooting for.
Yeah,
their merch.
I don't know. I can't wear Dakota Kai. Okay, it's now time we get out of here. David Christopher, where can the world find you online, man?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Instagram at David_Christopher_official or Fit TV Network, or of course every week, every Wednesday here on AfterBuzz TV with these lovely folks.
Emily May, where do we find you?
All right, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily May Hessler.
Yo, I want to give a shout out to Chad, Dylan Matthews, Aussie, Oi. Yep. Joseph Boza, thank you for all your stats and what you do every week. Get up for Eric Clark, I love your commentary in the chat. And Charlene, I know Jack Farmer loves wearing his dress-up clothes just for you, so just go to AEW after show after this and say, what's up, Jackie Poo? It's your boy Flo Pinto. Cat me on Twitter, at Flobo Voice. I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/FloboVoice. On Instagram, at FloBito. And support the homie by buying a t-shirt at FloBito.threadless.com. But until next time, buzz you later.
Good night.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world. And we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.